Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In Psalm 90, a psalm, a prayer of Moses. Psalm 90, this is God's word. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, see that in this psalm, Moses describes not only a perspective on time and on life, but on relationship with God. He doesn't simply describe the fact that time passes quickly or that circumstances change or that life can be difficult. All that's in here. But he describes all of this in the context of relationship with God himself. And he sets that for us right at the beginning of the psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. We find our home in relationship with him. And the wonderful thing is, when you really know the Lord, you can be at home in all kinds of situations. Whatever you're going through, you can be at home with the Lord in his presence, whatever you're going through. So, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And then he gives a sense of not just time, not just history, but of eternity in relation with God. Before the mountains were born. Now think about that. Back at the dawn of creation, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. One of the great character traits of God is that he doesn't change. And that is really good news for us. God is God. He has always been God. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. When Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" God says, "Tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am." God's character is revealed in his name. So, then Moses begins to describe what happens to us. "You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' When my father passed away, it was a lovely home going. He was surrounded by his family. And as we prayed for him and encouraged him, and he breathed his last, his body was left in the chair. Dad was gone, but his body was there in the chair. And so I had to call for the doctor to come and pronounce him dead, and then for the funeral home to come pick up the remains. And they seemed a little discomforted by my attitude. I mean, it wasn't disrespectful at all, but when they came in, I said, 'I'm Jim Wood, this is the nurse, and that used to be my father's body.'" Because you see, it wasn't his body anymore. He had left it. And that thing was going to turn back into dirt, no matter what the people at the funeral home do. They can put all kinds of chemicals in there to slow down the process of decay, but still, I guarantee you, if you went to the grave right now and you dug it up, what you would find is not my father. It would be the decaying remains of the body that he used to live in. It happens because God says so. God says, "Turn back to dust," and nobody can say no. Now, when you know that, it gives you some perspective and you realize you better be focused beyond this body and beyond this life, beyond this little bit of timeline. You better be focused on eternity. You better be focused on God. Because that's what it's about. That's what is going to be forever. And we need to be tuned in to that. Verse 4, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by." Isn't that marvelous? 1,000 years to God are like that. It's like just happened. Or like a watch in the night. A watch in the night is just a fraction of the night. The night is divided up into segments when people would stand watch to protect others. It's just 3 hours. He says it's like a day or like 3 hours. It's just a little segment of time, just a blip. "You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They're like new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new." This is particularly the case over in the Middle East where you get a lot of plants that basically have a one-day lifespan. Do you know anything about fruit flies? Do you know why geneticists use fruit flies for their studies of genetics? Because fruit flies have such a short lifespan. Well, folks, we look at them and we say, "Look at that, they just, you know, they come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go." So do we. We just don't realize it about ourselves because we're in the middle of that fruit fly life. Okay? We're thinking, "Oh, you know, I've been here." And then all of a sudden it's gone. So live your life realizing it is quickly going by, and you're going to have to deal with God. And then that brings up the next part. Verse 7, "We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation." Why? Why would God be upset? Why would God be angry with someone like me? Look, "You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Okay, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you have ever done something that you would be ashamed for other people to know that you did? Okay. How many of you have taken comfort in the fact that nobody found out. Okay? Yeah. You know what? There's only one person, I mean, it really matters what they think about it. And he knows. He knows about it. There's not anything hidden from him. No wonder all our days pass away under your wrath and we finish our years with a moan. That's what we deserve. But folks, that's not all there is. He's going to go on in this psalm and talk about God's unfailing love that makes it possible for us to sing for joy and be glad all our days. What makes the difference between living under God's wrath and being able to sing for joy and be glad all our days? What makes the difference? Well, the difference is God's compassion. Verse 13, relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Because of God's grace, because of his compassion, because of his mercy, it is possible for us to experience joy and gladness all our days. We still have a short lifespan. He says, if you make it to 70, you've done well. You've had a complete long life. He says, or maybe really strong, you make it to 80. Moses made it to 120. The guy who wrote this made it to 120, but he knew that's not standard. If you make it to 70, it's a full life. If you make it to 80, that's great. I used to think that was really old. Now it's coming faster every year. I realized when I was young that the reason the years were going faster and faster for me is because every one of them was a smaller fraction of my life. When I was 5 years old, a year was a long time. It was 20% of my life. By the time I was 10, it was just 10% of my life. And every year became a shorter segment of my life. I remember talking with other people in college about how quickly the time was going by. I remember when we were freshmen, don't you? Pretty soon we were finishing college, moving on, and doing other things, and I was thinking, you know, soon I'll be 30. And I was. And suddenly, I was closing in on 40. And I remember saying to my wife after I turned 40, I'm not at all sad, I don't feel down, but it's a little disorienting because 40 has always been out there like a mountain on the horizon, and now it's in the rear view. And it just feels odd because I used to think in terms of 40, you know, 40. One day I'll be 40 and now it's gone. I'm in my 40s. We know what happens next. 60. What happened to 50? I don't know. I was busy, okay? Didn't have time to notice. And so I'm realizing now, as I've already turned 60, that's old news, that the next thing may be 70, but it may be Jesus. And you know, that'd be just fine. If you're at peace with God, you don't have to dread what's coming. You can live your life in the light of his presence, rejoicing in his grace. Look at verse 12. We've already jumped ahead of that a little bit, but look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If we get a godly biblical perspective on how short life is and how completely in control our unchanging God is, we will get a heart of wisdom. We'll begin to see things as they really are. We'll begin to see what really matters. Most of the stuff that most people care most about doesn't matter one whit. It's not of significance. Stuff that people fight for and die for, really in the end, that's not what it's about.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
The God who rules the universe, who is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever, that God offers you compassion so that we'll be satisfied with his unfailing love. Satisfied with the unfailing love of God. Now think about that. Whatever I'm going through, whatever disappointments I face, however many things seem to be going wrong, God's love doesn't fail. Other people let us down, but God's love is unfailing. And the consequence of knowing that and being satisfied with his love is that we can sing for joy and be glad all our days. Not pretending, not I'm going to fake it till I make it. This is reality. This is really enjoying life because our satisfaction isn't coming from stuff that can't satisfy. My dad took great care of his body. When he was 60 years old, my age, on his 60th birthday, he went to the college gym in our town. He jumped up, got hold of the pegboard. If you don't know what a pegboard is, you ought to find out. Got hold of the pegboard and climbed all the way to the top and back down and back up and back down. That was two times. And then back up and then partway back down he dropped. He didn't drop like he was done and he dropped, which made it harder for the next people who had to try and get up the pegboard. I don't know how they did it. You'd really have to jump to get the pegs now. But you know, 60 years old and he's climbing the pegboard. Most of the guys who are 20 years old couldn't do the pegboard. That's a hard exercise. Dad could do it at 60. When he was 70, we gave him a bench press. Really. And he loved it. He'd put the weights on, he'd work out. And what a man. He died. Not doing the workout. But again, I want you to understand, none of that stuff can keep you from having to face God. None of that stuff can satisfy. I don't really enjoy exercise. My dad did. He really enjoyed it. You're still going to turn back to dirt. It's guaranteed. I don't care how healthy you are when you drop dead of something. You will still turn back to dirt. That's what God made us out of. So don't invest your life acting as if that's the most important thing. Thank God my dad did not act like that's the most important thing. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, as many years as we've seen trouble. Look at verse 16. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Do you know what we desire? Do you know what we need? Do you know what we ought to long for? To see God's glory. May your deeds be shown to your servants. Lord, let us see what you're doing. Let us see what you're up to. Let us see your glory, your splendor. That's what we need. That's what satisfies. That's why I get excited about sunsets and sunrise and starry nights and the phases of the moon and the growth of plants. And the way that photosynthesis displays the wisdom of God, the fact that he puts us on a planet where we give off carbon dioxide after we use the oxygen in the air, and the plants that surround us need that carbon dioxide and give off oxygen for us. Isn't that glorious? Who thought of that? God did. I love the fact that God designed it so that the growth hormone in the stem of a plant is sensitive to the sun and damaged by it. Now, the plant needs the sun in order to grow and get energy. But in order for the sun to have the maximum exposure to the plant's leaves, God made it so that the growth hormone that naturally occurs in the stem of the plant is damaged by the sun. That means whichever side of the plant gets the most sun will be the slowest to grow. The other side of the plant that doesn't get as much sun will grow faster. And so as a result, the plant will turn its leaves toward the sun and maximize. It's like a solar panel that turns to follow the sun in order to get as much sun as possible. That's design. That is so obviously design. You couldn't possibly think that there is no design involved in that unless you are deliberately running from the truth. Let us see your glory. Let us see your splendor. Folks, it's all around us. It is on every hand. That's what we need, and that is what satisfies, and that's what causes us to say, oh God, how marvelous that you would have mercy on us. That knowing everything about us, you would love us still. And your compassion on your servants would cause us to be satisfied with your unfailing love. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What does that have to do with? Well, you could argue that that's saying, I want to do something that's going to last. I want something left behind that's going to live on after I'm gone. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But there's another way of looking at it, and that is that God created us to be like Him. We're supposed to reflect and be like Him. So, at its best, the prayer that God would establish the work of our hands is a desire that we would be like Him and join with Him in doing things that matter and that will be around after we're gone. That's my prayer. Not just for my life, but for our lives together. That God would use us to do things that will outlive us. The one thing that God has given me the blessing and privilege of doing that I know is going to live on beyond me is seeing people come to Christ. There are folks already in heaven that I'm looking forward to seeing because I've watched them being born again. And my greatest desire is that my life would be invested in seeing people come to Jesus. And that your lives would be invested in seeing people come to Jesus. Because when God does that work through us, it is something that will indeed, by His grace, be established for all eternity. Jesus refers to it in John's Gospel as fruit that will remain. That's what it's about. Let's live that way.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.